You're with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Greetings, truth seekers, free thinkers, higher mammals, good people all over the world, near and far. How are you doing? This is Michael Parker, and I am coming to you, as always, from an undisclosed location somewhere in Los Angeles, California. And got to say, I've never heard the words Banana Republic used as much as I've heard them in the last probably 24, 36 hours. And how are you guys feeling after that Trump raid? Yeah. The fallout of this is going to be major, I think. And I mentioned this briefly yesterday, but I think it's worth repeating. And we're going to be joined by our guest in just a moment, but I got to get this out of the way first. You know, when they got the warrant, they had to get a judge to sign off on it. And as I mentioned yesterday, this judge that they chose was a guy named Judge Bruce Reinhardt. And I guess there are three judges in the U.S. District Court for Southern District of California, or the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of Florida has three different magistrates, of which Judge Bruce Reinhardt is one. Now, the court's online database showed that two recent warrant applications, both assigned to Reinhardt, were entered into the system on Monday. We're pretty darn sure this is who's behind it. I mean, it's basically certain now. And what's interesting about this guy is that, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, he supported Obama. He gave money to Obama. Not a huge deal, but he also represented some of the people that were involved with Jeffrey Epstein. And at first, I believe that he was part of a group that, here's how the Miami Herald explained it. They said, Judge Reinhardt began representing Epstein's employees on January 2nd, 2008, just one day after departing the U.S. Attorney's office, where he served as an assistant U.S. attorney closely involved in the convicted pedophile's case. So he was involved in the case of Jeffrey Epstein, that first one, I guess, in the prosecution, and then he stepped away to represent some of Epstein's people, including his pilots, his scheduler, which is a woman named Sarah Kellen, and then the kind of notorious Nadia Marcinkova, who was described by some victims as being Epstein's sex slave. Anyway, it's just interesting. Once again, I mentioned yesterday, you know, it all seems like it's comes from a club. And as George Carlin said, we ain't in that club. And I still believe that this was a huge gamble that was made by overly arrogant and super defensive people. I mean, they desperately want Trump not to run. And by doing this, they ran the gamble of making him a martyr and making him even more popular amongst his supporters and those who might have been on the fence. And that's exactly what it's done. So now they have their own double jeopardy here, because if they don't find anything, it looks pretty bad, like a Watergate-style crisis. If they do find something, well, then half of the U.S., at least, is not going to believe it. They're going to think that it was, you know, placed there. So I don't know how they win on this thing. I mean, they're trying to play this game to just drag out the drudgery and the constant prosecution of this man through the media. And so far, they've not been successful on any of it. And some people still believe that the guy's a total crook. But if he was a crook, I mean, by now we would know something, because they've looked through every nook and cranny of the man's life. And here's the deal. You don't have to like Trump. We don't care. You don't have to like him. He was a good president that made things happen. And we had a good economy. And we weren't involved in any kind of wars. Those are wins for me in my book. As a non-interventionist who is pro-capitalism and pro-getting along with the world, that works for me. So you don't have to like the guy. You know, he's egotistical. He's narcissistic. He said things I wish he wouldn't have said. But at the end of the day, he got things done. Now we got a guy and an administration, which it seems like we are virtually falling apart at every possible level, with the worst energy policies maybe ever. We are a joke overseas. We left Afghanistan in a humanitarian crisis exit. The Ukraine thing happened, which I'm pretty sure would not have happened under Trump. And it's just an ongoing cacophony of mistakes. Yet we're going to have raids on a former president's residence. This has never been done before. I think it's going to blow up in their face. And the reason I think it was pretty dicey is, I mean, look at the guy that they chose to sign the warrant, a guy who used to represent Jeffrey Epstein's employees. I don't know if I have to make it much clearer than that. Hey, you guys, do you have a suggestion for a host or a guest or a book or a topic that you guys want us to cover? We're more than happy to listen to you. All you have to do is, you know, you can give us a suggestion on our social media, or we have a suggestion form especially for this on the TNT Radio website. You can help us make a difference here on TNT Radio.
Drilling down the details.
I feel more informed when I listen.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, in this hour, we are going to have our guest, who is Greg Pinglis. He is the creator and the host and CEO of Action Radio. He's also the creator of a citizen legislative and bill writing platform called WriteYourLaws.com. Greg, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Well, actually, it's good afternoon now. I'm still thinking morning. I do a morning show. So, yeah, how you doing? What's up?
I'm doing good, man. Well, you're welcome. Well, where are you coming from in the world?
I'm in Milton, Florida, and so we're right by Pensacola. So I'm here on the Gulf Coast, the Emerald Waters. It's a fabulous area here. I used to be in California, so it's nice to be back in the United States, back amongst Americans.
So not among
the socialists behind.
Yeah, not among the People's Republic of California.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it was a beautiful state when I got there, you know, way back in the 80s, but they've lost their way, and hopefully they'll get back to it. So I can never do what I'm doing now. I could never have done this in California. And so this move to Florida, actually, I looked around all around the country for a job to get into radio, because I wanted to start, you know, I figured in a regular production radio station, and I found the perfect place. And then they got bought out, you know, a year and a half later. And so this is a common thing in radio. And so then I went to Blog Talk, and we've been able to have a show that's worldwide. And there's an amazing amount of interest in people who want to be free and want to actually take on the idea of writing the bills that they consent to be governed by. And it's exploding right now. This is fascinating.
Imagine that. People like freedom.
Yeah. Well, they really like freedom. And so this is what we've been able to do with the technology we have today, to be able to harness social media, the internet, and have a website, which someone made for me. I'm not a webmaster, but the idea of writeyourlaws.com, we write bills and then we submit them to various levels of government and just going through the normal constitutional process, try and get them passed. But the difference is these are regular people writing bills to go to government to control the special interest, as opposed to the special interest writing bills that help them, like Big Pharma, right, for example, that goes to the government and then they control us. So it's a total reversal of the relationship of the citizen to the government. And like I say, because of folks like you that are starting to spread the word now, that we're going to be able to make some amazing impacts on our country, on our freedom, on the way that we do things. I don't think politics is really going to be the same once this gets going. So if you're interested, I want to encourage you to write a bill. Or, if your audience wants to sponsor bills, just send the link into Congress and media. And that's how it works.
Well, we are going to talk about that at length. That's going to be the main topic of the discussion. But since you are in Florida, mm-hmm, and you heard me talking about the whole raid, I do have to get your thoughts on that. And just what are the thoughts of the people that are in your local sphere about the raid?
Well, the reaction is pretty characteristic. It's outrageous. It's stupid. It's galvanized all the Trump supporters. But I have a little different take on it. I looked at this and I thought, why would they do that? You know, I assume that people are more devious than they are stupid. And so my assumption is that they wanted to do this because they're trying to goad Trump into announcing for president before the 2022 midterms so they can use that against him, use that against Rhino Republicans saying, look, Trump's running, you know, your party's lost. This is a propaganda move because they didn't do what the FBI, KGB normally does. They didn't kill the dogs. They didn't destroy the property. They didn't walk Trump out, you know, in handcuffs, and they didn't have CNN there waiting to go. It wasn't like a Roger Stone or a Paul Manafort or some of the other, or Peter Navarro, things like that. So this was very strategic. And it looks to me because they wanted to go through everything, but they didn't really want to damage anything. My curiosity, not only what you think about that, whether this is a move to get Trump to run, but what happened when the armed Secret Service agents met the armed FBI agents? How did that conversation go?
That is interesting. Everything you just said is really interesting. So now let's game it out one more step, which is what you made is plausible. What you said is plausible. But on the other hand, if they were thinking that far ahead, which is quite clever, how could they have not seen the possibility? Because I think this was a huge gamble. How could they have not seen the obvious martyrdom that this gives to him? Because, I mean, I voted for Trump twice, and I thought he was a good president. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean
twice.
I was going to
vote. He won twice.
Right. That's what I think as well. But that doesn't necessarily mean I was going to vote for him this time. I actually like DeSantis as well, so I might vote for DeSantis. But what it's done is for the people who maybe wanted to avoid the Trump drama, now they're like, no, hell no. You've crossed the line. We're all on board with Trump.
Yeah, I think that, and here's where they are stupid. I think because they are so obsessed with Trump, because they hate Trump so much, I think they think everybody hates Trump as much as they do. And they don't realize that those of us that believe in America first and don't believe in government first and the deep state first love Trump. And it's not that we love Trump because he's Donald Trump. We love Trump because he loves America. He loves what this country stands for. And they have totally missed that. They don't get it. They don't get out in the heartland and the, you know, and the from the farms to the truck drivers to the plumbers to the hairstylists, to everybody else. They don't get that we love this country. And yes, it's got faults and it's got flaws. And that's why I created writeyourlaws.com so we could fix a lot of that. But the bottom line, it's not about Trump. They don't like Trump because it's got flaws. And that's why I created writeyourlaws.com so we could fix a lot of that. But the bottom line, it's not about Trump. They don't like Trump because they see Trump as the enemy to their privilege and their deep state and their corrupt idiocracy, as I call it. But what they miss completely is the fact that it's really Trump's the messenger. Trump's not, you know, the thing to be worshipped. You know, he's one person, but he carries a message in a way that nobody else can. But it's the message that's important. It's America that's important. It's our energy. It's our freedom. It's our borders. It's our military. It's our foreign policy. It's a fair competition for our corporations. It's our jobs. It's our economy. That's what's important. And that's what he talks about in the rallies. That's why people at the rallies, they're not here listening to some guy say, I'm Donald Trump. Look at me. Aren't I wonderful? Because he doesn't do that. He says, America is wonderful. We want it to be great again. He doesn't say, I'm great. He says, America's great. And that's the thing I think they don't get. What do you think?
Greg, I think you've nailed it. I mean, I agree with you. And I have said before, I think that's when Xi Jinping or Putin looked at Trump, they're like, holy cow, that guy, he's like us. He, you know, he is, well, for us, it's America first. For Putin, it's Russia first. But I think they recognized in him like, no. We need to let that guy be because he's as tough as we are. He's fully gangster. And that's the reason that I wanted to support the guy in the first place. Because I told my dad, you know, listen, I've not always been on the right. I voted for Republicans, for Democrats, Green, you know, independent.
Yeah, it was Green Party when I was a teenager. It made sense, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We also had the environment. We want a clean environment. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And
but conservatives are environmentalists too,
Well, and listen, I think everybody's an environmentalist at the end of the day. It's just, you know, are we extreme and out of our heads or are we reasonable? But let me just say this one last thing about the Trump gangster thing. It's like, I was in Texas at my dad's house when the first debate was going to happen for the 2016 election. And I said I wanted to watch it. My dad kind of looked at me like, really? You want to watch a Republican debate? Because I think he was surprised. I was like, yeah, man, I want to watch Trump. And he's like, Trump? Because, you know, my dad's, you know, he's just your conservative Republican guy. He was probably going to vote for Jeb or something. Who knows? And I was like, yeah. I said, I'm behind Trump. He goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, Dad, come on, think about it. If you're going to go up against the DNC Clinton mafia, you're going to need somebody hard as nails and just a bulldog if you're going to go up against that. And the only guy I see out of those 12 or 13 people up there is Donald Trump. Not to mention, I wanted to get shaken up a little bit. So I supported the guy from the get-go. I think he did a good job. I think, you know, clearly he hired some of the wrong people, but That was a lot of the wrong people. And I did bummed me out no end.
Look at it this way. He's in this incredibly rare opportunity in history where he served 4 years. Now he gets to evaluate those 4 years. See, normally presidential terms run together, and the second term is bad because they never get a break. They never get a chance to sit back and go, where did I screw up? So even though this is his term, he gets another term to run in 2024. Now, here's one of life's little ironies. If you look at the 22nd Amendment, it says that if you serve less than 2 years of a four-year term, it doesn't count towards your two terms. So Trump could actually take office January 21st of 2023, run in 2024, and then start his term again January 20th of 2025. How's that for a thought?
I like you thinking, Greg. I like you thinking. All right, you guys, we're gonna take our first break of the day. I speak with Greg Penglis. When we come back, we're going to get deep into writeyourlaws.com, which is a creation that he is behind, where citizens can create legislation, hopefully. And that's what we're going to talk about pretty much the remainder of the hour. This is TNT. I am your host, Michael Parker. This is The Program. We'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Hervoy Morich.
It's being reported that beef prices are poised for a surge that could last years. So years and years without those tasty hamburgers. Beef prices are surging because of severe droughts across the western U.S., forcing mass cattle slaughters, or as I mentioned, in Ireland, they're paying farmers 5,000 euros to slaughter their hamburgers. I mean, cows. And meat distributors say the natural disaster could keep supplies tight for years. Really feeds well into Bill Gates's synthetic meat plan and insect bug burger plan.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A lot of people may not agree with us right now, but there may come a time when they actually have an issue that affects them, that they don't have the freedom to choose. And if we don't preserve it, we won't have it.
Get to see this for yourself.
We begin this new week with an extraordinary moment in our history. 18 days into this truck convoy, and the federal government invoked a security measure that goes beyond anything seen in this country in the last 50 years.
Banks will be told to freeze the accounts of anyone helping finance the protests. And the owners of vehicles jamming streets will be directly targeted.
Trucking for Freedom, Chapter 1, How We Got Here. Visit truckingforfreedom.com.
Remember when they told us that the last presidential election was the most secure election in history?
Well, they lied to you and the rest of the world. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, folks, I am speaking with Greg Penglis. He is the creator, host, and CEO of Action Radio. He's also the creator of the citizen legislative and bill writing platform, Write Your Own Laws, or writeyourlaws.com. He is also the owner of the golden tones of those nice radio throat sounds. You sound really great on the radio, Greg. Good occupation. Thank you. Choice.
That's why I'm not an Olympic pole vaulter. You know, we all have our gifts. We have to make use of them. So I really appreciate it. Well, I've got this Yeti blue microphone here, which also helps a tremendous amount too. I found the video again. I can see you now. I had lost you. I sort of snuck behind the screen there for a bit. So all is well. So how can I help you?
Well, I used to have the old Yeti myself, and I've still got it laying around here somewhere. But let's talk about, okay, so first of all, you started up Action Radio, as you mentioned earlier. You were looking to continue working in radio, and the station you were working on got bought up. So you start doing a show, Action Radio. So let's start out with that and talk about what kind of topics do you like to talk about? And then we'll move into how that's metamorphosed into this writeyourlaws.com as well.
Let me back up just a little bit, though, because the actual idea for getting into talk radio happened around 2014. And That's when I first kind of came upon the idea of Action Radio. And I'm on a bike ride, and I'm right by San Francisco Bay. And I'm thinking, I want to be a brand new kind of talk show host. I didn't quite know how to do it. And I was thinking to myself that the problem with talk radio is they just talk. They don't take any action. And then I thought to myself, well, what we really need is action radio. Well, that was the start of it. And then I had to figure, what kind of action do we take? And then I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm thinking Thomas Jefferson, Declaration of Independence, the just powers of the governed come from the consent of the governed. Well, I'm thinking, well, how do we give our consent? And then I hit upon the idea, because I had a legislative background, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting? And this actually took probably about a year. And so I'm thinking, how can we be active? What can we do? So I'm fast forwarding. I said, wouldn't it be interesting if we actually could write our own laws, you know, and have a citizen legislature? And then I thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting if we could actually combine that with a radio show? And then the technology starts to catch up. I'm seeing social media start, and I'm seeing the internet and search engines. And I'm thinking, well, this is perfect. What if we combine all these together in one form? And then I had to find a station that hired me, and that was WEBY 1330 AM, that's no longer with us in the form it was then, this little station in Northwest Florida. And I said, I'm going. So I talked, you know, of the 400 stations I applied to, one hired me. And I got to do 1 hour of action radio where we could actually talk about citizen legislation. And then I did 2 hours of regular commercial radio. But in that 1 hour back in 2018, we wrote a bill with callers. For the first time, we actually wrote a bill on the air. This is, I believe we're the first to ever do this. 8 callers, 8 paragraphs of the bill, wrote the mandatory citizenship question on the census. We made it mandatory. I took that bill, I put it on writeyourlaws.com a couple of days later, and then had my congressman, fortunately, is Matt Gaetz. And so I sent it to Representative Gaetz, and he called the show a couple of days later, because he used to call the show every week. And I talked to him about the bill. He approved it. He loved it. He took it to Washington. I think it went to the Freedom Caucus. It went to the White House. I think Trump administration decided they wanted to go with a regulation. They figured that would get the citizenship question on the census. And then the Supreme Court came in and ruled against it with that bogus ruling, which is completely illegal, that you know, you can't ask people their citizenship, but the census is all about citizenship for the congressional district. So anyway,
precisely.
That's really how it got started. And that's back 2018. So now fast forward to now. So now I'm on Blog Talk Radio, and I do a morning show, and you're welcome to come on. In fact, I'd love to have you come on sometime if you have a bill that you want to write, or I can come back here at
Appreciate
some point
that.
In the future, you know. Oh, no problem. I mean, I figure that, you know, the hosts around the country, those that want to do something, you're going to go from being a talk host to an action host. You're going to pick this up. You're going to say, here's the problem. And then you're going to say, and here's the solution. And it doesn't have to be action radio or citizen legislation, but we have to move from journalists to conservative news advocates. So in other words, you take the news and then you start advocating the solution. And that's the step I'm hoping to bring all across talk radio as we move to become action radio as an entire medium. So that's where we are now.
Well, Greg, I'm very impressed by all that. You've thought this out quite well. And one of my concerns sometimes with talk radio and everything is just what you said. It's like, you know, the constant yap, 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 and saying the same things over and over and over again. But whatever happens other than making people edgy and angry and mad, I mean, occasionally they'll, you know, do a boycott on some product or something, but you've actually come up with a tangible way of translating this medium into action. So I'm very impressed, and I would love to come on your show. And I am going to think about writing a bill, because I'm crafting something, because I have the good luck on this show of having some local Los Angelino people associated with law enforcement and with government that come on my show a lot of times. And we've got a lot of problems here. So I have fertile ground to get the wheels turning. But yes, I would like to do that for you.
Well, good. Well, and this is what makes it so fascinating, is that people, once they realize how this works, and it's actually very simple. If you want to go into the nuts and bolts of how it works real quickly, I can do that. But we've tried to get the system as easy as possible for people to use, and it's very straightforward. And it all starts with our website, writeyourlaws.com.
Okay, so here's the deal. We got, let's just go ahead, Alex, if you're hearing me, let's go ahead and take that bottom of the hour news break, because I do want to get into the nuts and bolts of how this works with Greg on the other side. So let's just get the news out of the way. You're listening to TNT, and we'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Russia has summoned an emergency session of the UN Security Council to discuss the situation at Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which has been the subject of regular shelling attacks. China has announced an end to the unprecedented military exercises around Taiwan, which were launched following the controversial visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taipei. The U.S. had a better-than-expected report for July, zero inflation.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play, so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download, keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
We are speaking with Greg Pinglis, and we are about to get into his writeyourlaws.com platform. And Greg, I think a lot of people, when they think of bills, they're like, wait a minute, are you saying I'm going to have to write one of those 300 to 1,000 page omnibus bills? But that's not what you're asking. So let's talk about it. How does this work top to bottom?
Well, it's very simple. Our bills are very straightforward. And the whole point of this is that anybody can write a bill. All right. And if your idea is good enough, it might get on the desk of the president. And so we've opened up that process through technology to be able to have access for anybody with a really good idea. So what you do is you go to writeyourlaws.com, WriteYourLaws, writeyourlaws.com. And then you'll see on the homepage, an introduction. It takes you to our show and it gives you a template for a bill. Now, once you get the format and a template, it's pretty easy. So every bill has three basic elements, and you can expand on those, but you want to have three. You want to have an introduction or a rationale. Why are you doing this bill? And we actually deal in truth. So the bills that we write, the title actually reflects what it is, other than what comes out of Washington with the Affordable Care Act or the Inflation Reduction Act or, you know, all those kind of things. So you write
the
an introduction.
Opposite of what it is.
Yeah, exactly. But you can be a paragraph, you can be a couple of paragraphs, a little documentation, whatever you want. So you introduce the bill. Then you post the old law. You post where it is in the federal code, in the state codes, in your local school board codes, county commission, or city council. So those are usually the five areas where we legislate, all right, from school board up to Congress. And so you post the old law. Now, here's the beauty of what we do. And I didn't know this until I got into it. Most of the dangerous laws, the ones that really screw our lives up, are very short. And so the bill, we have a bill that puts full product vaccine liability back on vaccine makers. All right. That bill it basically changes two words. It's the same word in two places. We take it where it says vaccine manufacturers shall not be liable for their products to vaccine manufacturers shall be liable.
Voila.
We basically drop the word not. And that changes, that reverses the bill. So that puts vaccine makers as liable. You know, same thing with big tech. We take big tech, we take away their power to regulate the internet because everything that they do is already covered by the obscenity laws. So then we say, okay, so you're immune from what people post on social media and what happens with search engines because you're just providing a service, just like the phone company provides a service, right? That you know, if you make a threat against a public official, they don't arrest the phone company, or the phone company doesn't arrest you, law enforcement does. Same thing with the internet, it's already covered. So what we say to big tech is you're immune from what people post as long as, and here's where it's conditional, you don't touch what people post. So that's how it works. And if they touch what people post, then their immunity is revoked. So those are two very, very huge bills that are very simple. They're one-page bills. So let's get back to the nuts and bolts. So you've got your idea. You write your introduction. You find in law where the problem is. And generally, like I say, it's very short. And then you write your amended version, how you think the law should read. And that's exactly what Congress does. That's what the state legislatures do. We do what they do. So one of the big things we do is demystify legislation. It doesn't require years of law school. Literally, they make this stuff up. And in fact, Congress doesn't even write their own laws anymore. It's all written by K Street lobbyists. K Street's one of the streets in Washington.
Yeah.
I got a huge article describing how they don't. I think Congressman Massey had a big hand in writing it. They don't write laws. I have written more laws than the current Congress combined. Me. And I'm not the only one writing bills on writeyourlaws.com. We've got writers from around the country that are sending us bills of just fabulous ideas. And so that's it. You take you introduce your bill, you put the old law in, you put the amended version in, and these are ready to be voted on. Well, not quite yet. I'm going to get one more step. So then you submit it to me. And if I think it's a decent idea and it improves people's freedom and treats everybody equally, you know, equal protection clause and all that, and a general welfare clause, if as long as it's a bill that promotes freedom, chances are I'm going to post it. So then it goes to citizen bill ideas. Okay. So if you look at our website, you got the homepage, then the next section on the menu bar is legislation. If you have the page in front of you, it's probably easier to see this, right?
I'm about
to bring
it up right now.
Then you go to legislation. All right. So you go to legislation. And then the first thing is propose a new law. Okay. You see that? That's where you propose your law. So you put your name, you put your email, which is always confidential. You put the couple more little things they have in there. You post the title of your bill. And then you put, you know, the content of what your bill. And it can be fairly short. I want a bill that reduces taxes on blank. And then if it's a good bill, I'm going to get back to you. That's why we have your email. I say, great, why don't you come on the show and let's talk about it. So we work on it and we keep working on it. And then we take public comments and we have a legislative record. So the bills in the various forms go into the comments, so they become a record. So it's just like Congress. It's like the congressional record. So people can see how we've created our legislation. When it's ready to be submit to media, Congress, state legislatures, whatever governing body we're submitting it to, whatever legislature, it goes to all proposed laws, which is the third one down there. So those are the good ones. That's where you're going to find our two latest bills, our constitutional amendment to take away the power of Congress to borrow money.
I see it.
That's huge. And the other one that I just wrote is a bill that disarms all the unconstitutionally armed federal agents. And so there's only three federal crimes, right? Piracy, treason, and counterfeiting. Well, piracy is covered by the Navy, the Air Force, and various other military branches. Treason is covered by Congress during time of war and the courts. So nobody really has to be armed yet, except maybe the U.S. Marshals to arrest the traitors. The third one, counterfeiting, is covered by the Secret Service, which should go back to Treasury. Those are the only people that are constitutionally allowed to be armed that aren't military. All right, Secret Service and maybe the U.S. Marshals. Everybody else is armed illegally, including all those IRS agents that are going to be armed. I just saw an article recently. They're going to be forced to carry arms, right? So what I would do is disarm all of those agencies, NOAA, the Education Department, all the people that there's 200,000 armed bureaucrats, right? But there's only 182,000 Marines. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, that's wrong. So here's the beauty of this bill. And this took a while to figure out. So where to put the guns and ammunition? So what I discovered, and this is a program that I was actually involved with, the Civilian Marksmanship Program, which distributes surplus military firearms to people that qualify because they're American citizens, they're over 18, and they're participating in a marksmanship program. So we take all those thousands and thousands of guns and billions of rounds of ammo, and you ship those or you send those to the Civilian Marksmanship Program so they can distribute back to the people that bought all those arms, American citizens. And that's how we have a gun give back program, and we disarm an illegally armed federal bureaucracy. How's that?
I like it. So let me tell you this. So we are, our studio is in Australia. So we are actually based out of Australia, but we've got people, of course, in Australia, US, Europe, et cetera. So one of them
we're in Australia.
First on the Gold Coast. And that's
why I used to live in Melbourne. So you're up in Brisbane, right?
Alex, speak up. Which city are we in? I know it's Gold Coast. I think it's Brisbane, but it's funny. My wife is from Melbourne as well. So okay. We have synchronicities.
G'day.
Abounding.
How's it
here.
Going?
Yeah, g'day, mate. So, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's what I always say to my wife. Here's
why this is so fascinating. I don't know if you know Jen Clark, who's one of the founding members of the Freedom Truckers that went to Canberra. We wrote
Hold on just a second. Yes, it's Alex, my producer just got me up to speed. It's Gold Coast, Queensland, which is 1 hour south of Brisbane.
Okay.
That's where our studios are at.
I've been there. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know it was an Australian company. Well, here's what we did. Jen Clark and I wrote an Australian Bill of Individual Rights.
Well, that was what I was getting to. You're reading my mind. So let's talk about that. So this, because I'm looking right at it right now. So Action Radio, Australian Bill of Individual Rights, May 1st, 2022. What is this?
Mm-hmm. Well, that is exactly what I was saying. In fact, I'm going to pull it up right now and see if I can get it here, just in case you want to talk about particulars, because this is very complex. It's about 30 bills. It's 30 rights that we've determined. So I'm sort of talking and typing at the same time here real quickly.
Sure, that's fine.
I can do that. I'm used to doing multitasking here. And so what we found is that they have tried to propose, Australia has no Bill of Rights. So they tried proposing them and it didn't get anywhere. And in fact, there's actually a movement against the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights that have been proposed are the UN human rights. And human rights are completely different than individual rights, because when the UN talks about it, they're talking about responsibilities and all the things that you have to do to exercise your rights. And you have a right of free speech as long as you don't offend anybody. Well, that's no right at all.
No.
And so what we did was we actually put real rights into it. And if you look at these, it's up to date. You've got full body and mind autonomy. You've got freedom from invasive technologies. You've got freedom of movement, choice of energy, choice of living. You've got just an incredible amount of things in this bill that I'm hoping that Australia will do something with. I mean, at this point, we're kind of the ideas place. But to look at the first three. And again, once we write a bill, it's up to anybody else to do what they want. You can share it, send it to government, send it to media, do whatever you want with it to advocate it. We're totally open. We don't claim, once it's written, we don't claim any ownership of these bills. So people are free to advocate as they see fit. And so look at the first three really aren't, sorry, you gotta make a point.
When you were talking about, you know, the first of all, I was surprised that Australia didn't have a Bill of Rights, but okay. And then you said they had talked about potentially the UN Bill of Rights. And in my mind, it's like, well, wait a minute, that sounds more like a collective kind of thing. And then I go, number one of yours, it says all rights are individual. There are no group or collective rights. Amen.
Yep. And that is critical. In fact, the first three really define what rights are. And so once you realize that all rights are individual, you know, when people say that the group rights, you know, privileged minorities, LGBTQ, you know, things that are special rights, those aren't rights because a right must be exercised individually. Marriage is not a right because it's a contract. You know, these things are not, abortion is not a right because it involves three people. Okay, so these things, a right has to be individual. Rights have to be exercised individually, and governments cannot touch your right. And that's the next part. I think the next one here, all rights are absolute within the context of the right. That is key also. So the first two really define what rights are. And the third one is that enumerated rights are permanent. So rights have to be individual, absolute, and permanent. Now you can still amend it, but as far as it goes, they can't say, like the government says, well, we can make reasonable restrictions on rights. Well, no, you can't. Because the minute you put a restriction on a right, it's not a right anymore. It's a government privilege. You know, people, Brandon's fond of saying the Second Amendment is not an absolute right. Yes, it is. But if you'll notice, the Second Amendment says the right to keep and bear, which means own and carry. It doesn't say use. So people have to, once you understand that the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms is absolute. Anything you want to keep and anything you want to bear is absolute. Now, once you cross the line into use, now you're in statutory law, and statutory law is subordinate to constitutional law. So if you're going to use, there are legal and illegal uses of firearms. And that's why the Second Amendment has nothing to do with crime, because now you're into use. And the government has an absolute power to determine through their legislature legal and illegal uses. But in the same way, gun control is also unconstitutional because it's statutory. Statutory is subordinate to the Constitution. Therefore, there are no constitutional gun control laws that touch your absolute right to keep and bear. There are lawful and constitutional laws that limit your use of firearms for things like murder, extortion, carjacking, you know, assassination, mass public shootings, things like that. And for obvious reasons, you couldn't make a right. But once you distinguish between uses and keeping and bearing, then the Second Amendment becomes an absolute right. And it's like, oh, that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yes. So let me ask you this. As I'm thinking about Australia, and like I said, my wife's from Australia. I've been there a few times. I have a lot of friends and family there. And, you know, our network is there. But the no Bill of Rights thing surprises me. How about Canada? Does Canada have a Bill of Rights?
I'm not sure. And that's kind of embarrassing because I was born in Toronto. If they have a Bill of Rights, it's probably been suspended at this point.
Right.
By Trudeau, and his fascist government. And I say fascist is a mixture of corporate and government merging.
Yes.
Much like the fascist cooperation of Dr. Fascist and Big Pharma in this country.
Yeah. Well, and fascist is one of those terms that got used so much the last couple of years and overused by people who didn't fully understand it. But yes, when we're talking about Australia, it made me think about Canada because Canada has been completely nuts the last couple of years. So I think this is ingenious. And
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I take my hat off to you. And folks, if you've got to go to writeyourlaws.com and see this. There are 30 points on just this one piece of legislation that they're proposing. It's called First Draft Australian Bill of Individual Rights 2022. So to my friends and family in Australia, you know, I strongly urge you to go to this website, take a look at it, and bravo on you, Greg. Well done.
Well, thank you. Do you have any of those on the Australian Bill of Rights you want to talk about? Because some of them could be applied to our own Bill of Rights in the United States.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm trying to read over it really quickly, and I was trying to listen to you at the same time and make sure I was on top of things. I'm trying to see if the main thing that stuck out to me was just the very first one. Like, all rights are individual. There are no group or collective rights right now, because collectivism, that is kind of the source of all of these things that have gone wrong. And I tell people this occasionally, but part of the reason I call the show Deprogram is because I feel like we've programmed people into thinking that their little demographic is the most important thing about them, when in fact, I think this hyper focus on sex, on religion, on pronouns, on these kinds of descriptors actually are being used to divide us. And you know that. And so that was the main thing that stuck out at me right at the beginning.
We want me to give you a couple that I think you might find interesting.
Please.
Or did you want to do something else? All right. So let's go ahead.
We have about 2 minutes before the next or the final break. So let's roll. Let's do it.
Cool. All right. Here's one. We've got number 14 here. Every person lawfully in Australia has a right to freedom of movement, choice of residence, modes of transportation, choice of energy use, engagement in commerce and investment, choices of lifestyle and other personal choices, and these shall not be infringed for any presumed public interest, scientific theory, real or imagined, Ooh. Or for any purpose of social engineering. How's that?
I like it. I know where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Well,
we're trying
to think ahead. We're really trying to think ahead here. Yeah. There's another one. Let me get my free speech one, which I think is number four. Regardless of technology, policy, good intentions, law, regulation, or court ruling, whether public or private, over all methods of communication, there shall be no encroaching upon the right of free speech and of the open exchange of information. Well, there's your big tech block.
That's what I'm thinking. That's hard to miss. So, yes.
Yep.
We have probably time for one more. Give us one
more. Okay. Number six. Citizens have the right to their own body and mind and cannot be forced, extorted, threatened, coerced, influenced, pressured, DNA modified, subjected to medical or scientific experimentation, or infringed upon in any way that affects their free will in being fully informed and giving their full valid consent to anything that affects their body or mind.
I wonder what that could be about.
Yeah, you tell me. Well, it's everything. Vaccines, ADHD meds. I mean, you name it.
You name it. Ladies and gentlemen, I speak with Greg Penglis. He is the creator of Action Radio and writeyourlaws.com. This is just great stuff. This is TNT Deprogram. I'm the host, Michael Parker. We'll be right back.
You were warned. Climate lockdowns looming. Biden set to issue climate emergency in the United States.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
President Joe Biden is now seriously considering the declaration of a climate emergency in order to follow the COVID emergency. And by the way, the U.S. is still under their COVID health emergency. How long will a climate emergency last? What powers will it give Joe Biden? For those of you pining away for the COVID lockdowns, President Biden will have the ability to deploy 130 different presidential powers that require no consent of Congress. Yes, it has come to that. A permanent emergency where democracy is permanently suspended. There's only one way to fight back, the Great Resist. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Telling the truth is the only mandate we believe in. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We are speaking with Greg Penglis. He is the host and creator of Action Radio and also of writeyourlaws.com. Greg, let's return to one particular law you were talking about, or piece of legislation that's been created through this. And let's go to this Vaccine Manufacturer Full Product Liability Restoration Act of 2021. Where are we on that? And explain again what that is. I think everybody will know, but just to refresh them.
Well, what this does is that vaccine manufacturers aren't liable for their product at all. You can't sue them. You can't do anything to them. They're fully immunized, if you have a pardon the pun, from any
Nicely
action
done.
You might take. Yeah, thank you. I just thought of that, that you might take against them. And so what my bill basically does is it turns it around and says that they are fully liable. But there's a couple of really key points in here. It also gets rid of the emergency use authorization for these snake oil jabs. It overturns the declaration of emergency, and then it goes to the very specific law. So this is a great model bill. So you got the title, it's got a rationale. It talks about getting rid of the vaccine injury program, because if you're going to be suing these people, then you don't need to have taxpayer money to pay for injuries. You need the people that did it. And so you don't need the vaccine injury compensation program. Okay. We've got the old law, you know, the we've got the old Bayer's law, and then it has a liability immunity declaration of emergency. That's where we get rid of that. That was never actually declared. That was just put in the Federal Register. That's another problem, too, that Congress never voted on it. It was just kind of included. And once it's in the Federal Register, unless Congress objects, then it goes forward, which is kind of interesting, too. Then I have the current law, which is 42 U.S. Code Section 300AA-22, Standards of Responsibility. I noticed that it's a little smaller type in my bill. I might have to fix that. These things are still under amendment, by the way, too. Now, once something's amended, when you click on the bill the next time, you get the amended version. So as we correct and improve these, they're self-correcting. And then we go to the amended law. Standards of Responsibility. So that's 42 U.S. Code, Section 300AA-22. So this is ready for a vote right now. This bill could go to Congress. It could go through committee hearing. It could emerge unchanged. Congress could vote on this right now, today. That's the condition that the bills are when we send them to Congress.
And where are we at on this? Has this been sent? Because you've got endorsements by the late, great Dr. Zelenko. You've got Judy Mikovits on here. You got Brian Artis. You got, you know, well-known people endorsing it, but where are we at as far as getting it to Congress?
We need millions of people. We need this to basically go viral. We need every listener you have, every friend they have, every family member, all the folks that are endorsing this, America's frontline doctors, you know, the military folks, everybody, to copy the link and send it to Congress and say, I want you to pass this bill. And we need to do this before the midterm. We need to get to media so they start reporting it. So they say, well, we've got vaccine problems in this country, and here's the solution. Here's a possible solution. They start reporting on the bill. We need pollsters to poll candidates on this bill. Do you favor vaccine product liability legislation as proposed by citizens? Okay. And so this is what has to happen. So it's not my bill. I mean, I wrote it, but I wrote it with the cooperation of a lot of people. Dr. Zelenko was invaluable in, and actually he pretty much wrote the bill to reform the FDA and the emergency use authorization procedure. That bill's in there too. So his work still lives on, you know, long past him, which is absolutely fabulous. I never met him, but I talked to him on the show a couple of times. Unbelievable man. Anyway, so the bill, and here's the problem. People go, well, you haven't passed a bill yet. Okay, well, neither has most of Congress, you know, for the last, I don't know how many decades. Most Congress people don't even write bills, let alone pass them. So that's not really the issue. The issue is, how can we get this into the public, into the media, and then to government? It doesn't start with government, because Congress they're never going to write this bill, because Big Pharma won't let them. All right. They'd violate the contributions. They never get another dollar. The Republican Party would never get another dollar. Democrat Party is certainly not going to do this either. All right. So it has to come from us. So we need enough people, enough voters, enough pressure, enough media, enough polling, enough response from the American people that want this to make it an issue before the midterm. That's what we need. And that's where we are right now. But it's been sent. Members of Congress have it. My congressman has it. Senator Ron Johnson has it. All kinds of committees have it. It's out there. I put out press releases by the hundreds. So all kinds of media outlets have it, but they're not reporting on it. That's where you guys come in, because you're like on the forefront. You're the new pioneers. You're now carrying the message. You know, we're like the ideas factory. Matt Gaetz calls us the ideas factory. So we write the bills at writeyourlaws.com. And then after that, go for it. You know, the links are out there. Copy the link, send in the link, and suggest things too. If you have an improvement, you know, I can incorporate an amendment. We do amend our bills, you know, as people have better suggestions for us.
Well, I would implore the audience to pass this around amongst yourself, post it on social media, because here's the problem. When you're talking about media, luckily, TNT, we're here to push back against all of this stuff. And so we don't take ads from pharmaceutical companies. We don't take ads from these companies that don't have our best interests. We have our own way of doing things. Unfortunately, most media does take a large amount of their advertising dollar from pharmaceutical companies. That's why when you watch sports or whatever it is, and a drug comes on, it takes, you know, 60 seconds, of which 40 seconds are the effects that you can have as a result of it. So they're not liable, unfortunately, and I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I'm just putting the responsibility on us as people who are concerned and want to be involved. Well, hey, listen, this is something you could do. Spread this bill around. Make people aware of it. Make people aware of this website, Write Your Laws, because I don't think that regular mainstream media is going to give this much time, unfortunately, because they make too much money off of their... They're subsidized essentially by the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, it'll start with media like you guys. I mean, you guys are absolute pioneers, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate your help. But as you do it, other people will do it, because, you know, you've got the scoop. you've got it right now. So run with it.
Yep.
And so other station reporters are going to want to get the scoop too. And eventually reporters are going to be charged by their editors. Say, what's this writeyourlaws.com? What is this that people think they can write their own bills? Are they going to become dictators? And then of course you can say, no, this goes through the normal legislative process. We are following the Constitution. We are following the rules. We are doing everything we can, but we're advocates for our bills. And everybody can become a citizen lobbyist and you can get as involved as you want. I will work with you to write a bill. Or if you just want to share the show and share the bills to Congress and media, that's great. So whatever level of involvement you want to get, you can get. You guys at TNT are going to be invaluable in spreading the word that this even exists. And people are going to go, you know, what do I, because here's the question you probably get all the time. What can I do?
Yes.
You get that all the time, right? Well, here's your answer. Yeah.
Precisely. And that's the only reason I said to the listeners, it's like, and I don't want to be pessimistic. You're right. Maybe some mainstream legacy media will pick this up. When I think of myself and I think of TNT, I think of us as kind of a new wave, a different version of media. I don't think of us in that realm. But, you know, I could be wrong. There could be some people within mainstream legacy media who do want to do the right thing and pick this thing up. But if they don't, it's okay. It's still, we could put the word out. And I'm going to encourage other hosts here at TNT to have you on to explain this, because right now when I look at some of the just a couple of pages of bills, this is the one that I find to be the most important. Now, the people in Australia are going to find the Australian Bill of Rights, individual rights, extremely important. So you're doing good work here, and it would be our honor and our responsibility to help spread this word.
Well, I love it. Well, Bruce McLean and Joseph Arthur, I hope I got their names right. I haven't looked them up here, but they've already had me on too, which is great.
Oh, okay.
I think they have the bill ideas too. And I think, and there was another person on a different network and things like that. So it's spreading and people are picking up the idea of becoming, you know, action hosts and doing something about it, not just talking about the issues. And it's fun. That's the other thing too. It's really fun to do this. And you get a real sense of satisfaction that you know, when you put your name on a bill, and it starts traveling around and people, you know, by the tens and the thousands and the hundreds of thousands, and hopefully then the millions, you know, like your idea. And they may have had the same idea themselves and go, there's that, there's my idea. I want to send this to Congress. It feels amazingly empowering. And that's a major part of this too, because everything government does is to disempower you. They send you to an education system that turns out idiots. You know, they suppress you. They say that, you know, we're in charge and the special interests are running everything. I just don't buy that. And I don't care about the odds against me. I don't care about the opposition. I don't care about those that say this can't be done. You're never going to get anywhere. Yeah. I've heard it all before. Don't waste my time.
Well, I think you've made it. The ingenious part of this is you're right. I hear that question all the time. Well, you know, we can't do anything. Well, no, actually, Greg Penglis has come up with a really good idea here and created doesn't cost you anything. It costs you your time to write something up. And even Greg will even help you with that. And when you mention it being empowering, the thing I like about it, it's like once you do something in the positive like this to help your nation and help the world around you, wow, well, I did that. Well, maybe I could do something else now. And it builds upon itself. So, you know, I can't give you enough props for this. I think it's a great idea. I'm going to write a law. I don't know what on yet. Okay. I'm going to give it a great deal of thought. But I think I just
look at our examples. Look at the areas we've covered. We covered taxes, judiciary, civil rights. We've covered all kinds of different reforms. I've got a bill that mandates budget bills have a 30-day comment period. We've got a bill that says that no income tax will be collected from your paycheck until you've earned your standard deduction amount. We've got bills on mandatory judge instructions that the judges have to tell the juries about jury nullification and the ability to judge the laws. We've got things that fix the COVID stimulus. We've got a bankruptcy bill. We've got an EMP, protection against electromagnetic pulse. We've got all kinds of different areas. I mean, it really is fascinating the amount of things that we cover. We've got a fingerprint ID bill from a person that grew up in Nicaragua and knows about communism. You know, we've got the list just keeps going on and on of the things that we do here. We have a Citizenship Declaration Act, which puts your citizenship on your driver's license, and you have to use that before you can get, you know, a bank account, a job, you know, all those kind of things. You can't send money out of the country. We have a bill that revokes birthright citizenship. We have all these different things that we're bringing to this. And one of my favorite new ideas is the idea that states and local governments can fight illegal aliens through civil asset forfeiture. This is a non-federal, this is a local law enforcement procedure, just like a crack house. You take the house. So if you have illegal aliens in your jurisdiction, you take their house, their car, everything they have, and say, you can't live here. You're an illegal alien. And since they have no rights, because they have no right to be here, you know, you make it impossible for them to live here. There's no rounding up. There's no federal involvement. There's no ICE. There's no nothing. We just do it ourselves. So there's a local law enforcement procedure where you can remove illegal aliens from your county, your city, your state. And it's there's no federal involvement. That's the kind of ideas we come up with.
Meanwhile, here in Los Angeles, the city council just said last week that basically you do not have to be an American citizen to hold a government job in the county of Los Angeles. I kid you
not. That's unconstitutional. They can't do that. They can't.
You sure thing, you know? but they're doing it. And we did a whole show about it last week. And I bring it up because it's like, this is something that maybe that I will write contesting because it's ridiculous. Greg Pinglis, thank you for what you're doing, brother. We'll have you back. And I encourage everyone, go to writeyourlaws.com. My friends and family in Australia, he's got one right there for you at the very top of the proposed page law. Those of you who are concerned about vaccines, he's got one for you. Greg, thank you so much.
Thank you. We just want to spell it right. It's W-R-I-T-E. Otherwise, people are going to get it wrong. W-R-I-T, writeyourlaws.com. And thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be on your show.
Good point, Greg. We'll be in touch, and I would love to come on your show as well. Ladies and gentlemen, first hour in the can. We're going to be back in just a moment with Kevin Gallagher. We're talking about smart technology. We'll be back.